want you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Every song that's been sung today, I typically don't normally tell them what to sing, but every song that's been sung today has had something to do with what I have felt to preach this morning. For several days now, I've felt to preach this message. And one of the things, thank you, Brother Scott, one of the things that I have done is I told Sherry this morning as we were getting ready, I said, if God has laid this on my heart this morning, and I believe He has, it must mean that somebody in that room needs this word. You see, and I see so many people today in the life that we're living that is just in the grip of bondage. Bondage comes in all kinds of sizes. It comes with all kinds of things. We could try to identify bondage as being alcoholism. We could try to identify bondage as being sexual sins. We could try to identify bondage as being a drug or a drug addiction. We don't never think about other type of bondages. There's mental bondages and psychological bondages and oppression and depression and all kinds of stuff that people go through, and worry and fretting and fear and all kinds of emotions that people deal with on an ongoing basis. So when I began to think about this message this morning, I thought to myself that it's time to break free. It's time to break free. And I believe this with everything within me, or I would shut my Bible and I would go to the house and I'd go eat me some lunch. I don't know who's here. Nobody's told me nothing this week. I don't know a thing about anybody as far as what you're dealing with, except with the exception of only a few people that I've talked to over the last week or two. So I don't know what you're bringing here this morning. We used to sing a song back in the day, and Brother Dotson would sing this song a whole lot, and he would sing the song, "You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, depressed, tormented, sick, or lame. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name." Now, I would like to present that as a question as I walk into this message today. If you have a need in this room today, I declare over your life. Somebody says you don't have to declare and you don't have to decree nothing if it's in the Word of God. But I believe that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I believe that your ears are the gateway to your soul, and you live by what you say. Come on, somebody. But I believe today that if you're in this room today, and you in any way, shape, form, or fashion are dealing with anything, don't even have to be a sinful thing, but just something that you need God to do for you, I believe firmly that God can do that before we leave this room today. Amen. So turn your Bible to Mark chapter number 5. And I want to read a very dramatic story, an event, more than a story, an event that took place one day in the life of Jesus. And as the word of the Lord declares, it says in Mark 5 and 1, "And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him one of the tombs, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no man not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him." Verse number 7, "And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And Jesus said unto him," and I love this, I can just imagine The softness, but yet the authority in Jesus' voice. Again, maybe Jesus rose his voice. I don't know how he did it. But whatever Jesus, or however he actually said it there that day, he said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Now, I know today, and I don't want to get too preachy this morning in the early stage of this message, but I do know that Jesus dealt with the unclean spirits. And we think about today that this is just a story in the Bible, and we think today that people don't really ever deal with anything like this in today's society. Let me say it the way I feel it. Our society is so filled with demons today and so filled with so many unclean things that it's not really an abnormality to us today, because we see it everywhere that we look, and that way we don't address it as an abnormality in the life of people today, because we've accepted it just the way life is. But we don't have to accept it just the way life is. In the first part of this verse, we can see that when Jesus came over to the other side, if you go back into verse number 1, you can see that Jesus had been in a movement. Jesus had been there where the nature had been tamed with his disciples. If you read back a little bit in the former chapters, you can see that where they were in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, and Peter and disciples was there, and they were saying, "Oh Lord, do you not even care that we perish?" And the nature, the storms and everything around them was just being tossed to and fro. One of the gospels says that Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat on the pillow. And you can only imagine the concern and the feeling that Peter and the other disciples may have felt. They were being tossed to and fro and to and fro. And it seemed like life was just taking, let me use this terminology, it just seemed like that life was just beating the daylights out of them. Now, you may not have ever felt that way, but maybe somebody in the room, you've dealt with life enough that you just felt like, "Hey, I can't take no more." And you just get to the place in your life and you want to throw your hands up in the air. Sometimes you want to say, "I quit," but we know we can't quit. But you want to throw your hands up into the air and you just say, "Lord, will you help me now?" Now, I don't know, that's a little dramatic, and maybe nobody's ever felt that way, but I guarantee you that these disciples felt that way. Jesus left there, he came to the other side, and what did he see? Not only did he deal with the natural forces of the sea, he told the sea, "Peace be still," and there was a great calm. He left there, he goes straight into the other environment, and all of a sudden, here is this demon-possessed man. No tellings how long he had been in that particular situation, but he had been there for a long time, no doubt in my mind. As you begin to read this, you see, as you begin to walk through this, the Bible reminds us that the man had been there, and as Jesus came out of the ship, there immediately, the Bible says there in verse number 2, this man came to approach Jesus that had an unclean spirit. Now, I don't know, if you were preaching this, you'd probably preach it 100 different ways. But one of the things that I begin to think about when I look through this, that any time that righteousness shows up, you bet your bottom dollar, if you will, that the devil's going to be there on time too. He's going to be there to do everything he can to destruct and to kill, to steal, destroy, as we talked about in Sunday school lesson today. But we talked about how the enemy is on an assignment. Anytime you ever get in church, anytime you ever want to do something for God, anytime you seem to be making a few strides forward, the enemy's always going to do anything and everything he can to confront your righteousness, if you will. The right standing with God. Righteousness, right standing with God. He's going to do everything he can to destroy you and to get your mind off the goodness of God. In this, the Bible says in the scripture that no man can bind him, no, not with chains. I begin to think about that, and I can only imagine in my own mind that how many people had tried to help this man. It don't tell me how many people had tried to help him, but it just simply tells us that he was bound up by an unclean spirit. And many people had been in his pathway many, many, many times. The Bible says that, and it says that he was dwelling there, and it says that no man could bind him, not out even with chains. And again, if I was preaching very evangelistically today, I would just simply say this, that no matter how many times that this man had confronted other people and other people had been there for this man, I just wanted to simply say this to you today. It's still going to take an old-fashioned, old-timey move of the power of the Holy Ghost to break the chains that bind today. Somebody says, well, preacher, it don't take all that today. Let me just tell you something that I thought about earlier. I don't believe that it's the right of anybody that's never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with power and unction and speaking with other tongues to ever tell somebody that has experienced that it's not real. Because I know it's real today. I know the power of God. And I know the anointing of God. And I know today that with everything within me, that if this man was going to get free from the things that bound him up, it was time for him to be free. And again, it took an encounter with Jesus in order for this man to get free. Again, when we think about this in the scripture, we think about the word freedom, freedom, freedom. We like the word freedom. We think about the word freedom today. And as I was reading and working on this message this week, one of the writers that I was reading from said one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life is to learn how to walk in freedom, given the freedom given to us through the anointing of the work of Christ. Jesus Christ came to set the captive free and to set at liberty them that are bruised, that the enemy has in his grip, and the grip of sin and failure to the destruction of the physical person as well as their soul. And again, we think about that today in the church that we're sitting here and seemingly everybody's happy and everybody's okay, and we don't think about anybody sitting in a church building that would be in some type of grip of bondage. But yet it happens every day. And it happens all around us. So when we think about the grip of bondage, I thought about the lines of a song. And I think about that. That sin is a captive. That sin is a captive. It binds and it holds. It's ironic that this Sunday school lesson kind of went along with this morning that we talked about. That how that Adam and Eve was there in the garden and the enemy came in and he bound them up. See, I don't want to be an accuser of the brethren. I don't want to accuse anybody this morning of anything. But just by chance, possibility, somebody slipped in on our radar this morning. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, oh, Pastor, if I could just get free. Oh, Pastor, if I could just get free, if I could just break loose from the things and the feelings and the emotion, and if I can just get free, if I can just have my freedom in Jesus back again. And I'm going to come by long enough to tell you, I believe this with everything within me, that just as much as God let Israel be freed from the Pharaohic bondage, I believe that God today in this room wants to set you free. See, if you look in the book of Exodus, way over in the Old Testament, Exodus 20, we can see here again how that God came to the children of Israel. You look in verse number 1, and this is really what he says there. And this is right before he gave them the Ten Commandments. And really what God was telling them in the Ten Commandments is simply this: I've told you how to stay free. Now here's 10 rules that I want you to walk by. 10 little bitty rules is all that God was saying to the children of Israel. And I'm not going to take the time to go into the 10 commandments right now. But look at verse number 1. And God spake these words saying, look at verse 2. He says in verse 2, I am the Lord thy God. So if you're going to be free, one of the first things you've got to know without shadow of doubt that you belong to God. That hook, line, and sinker, everything, every fiber within you, everything that you are, you have to know without shadow of a doubt that you have given your heart to God. This is very important for the latter part of this message. That you've given your heart to God. Israel, God's people, I am the Lord thy God. Now watch this. He says, which have brought thee out. I like that, don't you? If God has brought us out of sin, why are we still in sin? Now, again, thinking about human nature, et cetera, and so forth and so on, with the Sunday school lesson, that's why I don't teach Sunday school much, because I get it. Brother Scott, I get it all wound together. It's the nature, and I don't want to get into that right now. But he says, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Egypt, again, is a typology of bondage. I just simply wanted to say this, that Christ has came to bring you and me out of the house of bondage. If you're in this room today and you're bound up in sin, if you're bound up in sin, missing the mark, if you're bound up in stuff that you know you should not be a part of, I just come by long enough to tell you this is the day of your freedom, and God will liberate you, and God will emancipate you, and God will set you free, only if you want it. If you want it, you can get free. If you want out of the bondage of sin, if you want out of the grip of sin, if you want out of the grip of the enemy, I believe with everything within me, you can get out of it. You can get out of it today. Hello, somebody. I believe this. When we think about, again, Pharaoh, we think about the typology of the Scripture. We think about this again in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 6. It's a repeat of the words that's there in Exodus. And he reminds them and he says to them, I am the Lord your God who hath brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Again, when we think of Pharaoh, we think about the typology of Satan. We think about bondage. We think about what the Bible says there. It's a typology of slavery and a type of sin today. And I believe this with everything within me, what God did then for them, that God can do for you and I today in the hour that we are living in today. And it's one thing, my friend, to get free. Watch this. It's one thing to get free, but it's a horse of a different color to stay free. How many times have people been touched of God? How many times have people received a miracle touch of God only to turn around and go right back out into the far country of sin? Sin, my friend, it'll bind and it'll hold. It'll hold you captive. We think about bondage and we think about this today. And it talks about bondage is to be held against one's will. When we think about bondage, we think about all kinds of stuff today. I thought about some things today that may or may not be a part of what's going on here this morning. I have no idea. But sometimes we think that people's talking about us when they're not really talking about us at all. That's bondage. We think, too, that people don't like us when they really do like us. And that's a bondage as well. We think often that God has given up on us, when in all reality, God has not given up on us at all. And the enemy's constantly up on our shoulder, and he is defined as the accuser of the brethren. Bondage, again, is it, we got to understand that God is no respecter of person. And I believe that what can happen in the pulpit today can happen in the pew. Sometimes the worst enemy that you have is your own self. The enemy will lie to you. The enemy will tell you that nobody loves you. The preacher don't like you. The enemy will tell you all kinds of things. And lurking in the backness of that kind of mindset is nothing more than demonic power. I believe that you can be attacked of the devil. I believe the devil can speak to you, and I believe he's the accuser of the brethren. Even as a Christian, I don't believe that he can possess you, but I do believe that he comes to torment and comes to actually do anything he can to discourage you against you following God. So God has given us a remedy for that today, and I want you to hear this. We've read this scripture many, many times. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And there's only a couple of verses. It starts in verse number 3. And when you look in verse number 3, again, this is where he opens this up. This is Paul talking to the church of Corinth. Evidently, this is not a new thing. So Paul even addressed this, where Paul was saying, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. There's something more going on. This man came out of the tomb and he was cutting himself. And the Bible says that they had tried to bind him and other people had tried to bring restoration to him. But on the inside of this man, he cut himself with stones and he was naked and he was there in an absolute total mess. I think today to my own self is how that is a picture, a portrait of humanity today without Jesus. Humanity today without Jesus. Verse number 4 of this scripture actually says this. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You don't fight this thing with guns and knives and staves. You don't fight this thing that's going on the inside of you that way. You don't fight that kind of war. But you look around us today and you look at all the war and all the fighting among humanity today. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Brother Beckner, if we all just got together, just loved one another? I mean, think about it. Think about the war, even Ukraine and Russia and everything else. You think about all that's going on around our world today. Wouldn't it be awesome if we all just got together and just cared for one another and loved one another? Wouldn't that be cool? But he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But he says that they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Somebody says, well, what's a stronghold? It's what you think about. That's against the nature of God, day in and day out. Day in and day out. I think about a stronghold as something that just gets a grip on you. You've tried to shake it. You tried to get free from it. And it just absolutely just puts itself and it grabs a hold of you. And you've tried to shake it every way you possibly know you can. But the Bible tells me that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Hey, if I could do it today, y'all would be worshiping me. Hello, somebody. If I could do it today, my name would be God. I can't do it. I'm pointing you to the one that can do it. On an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago hung a perfect Savior that spilled His blood for every person, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, that whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. And my friend, there is a deliverer in the house. Martha and them sang about that He is my deliverer. And today, the only thing I can tell you, if you walked into this room bound up and in bondage and in some type of stronghold of the enemy, I point you to the name of Jesus today, because when Jesus showed up, that man ran out of the tomb. Commentary said that it was a deterrent. It was trying to get Jesus, as he says this, and there's another verse to that too. But he says this in the commentary of how that when this man came to him in Mark chapter number 5, and this is what he says to him. Watch this. And he says, when he looked at this man, that no man could bind him, he bound him with chain. And then when he seen Jesus afar off, verse 6, watch this, 6 and 7. He came and he worshiped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Commentary said that was nothing more than the enemy speaking through that man to offer a deterrent to Jesus so that demon could stay in that man. And I said that to say this. Some people can come to church and still be bound. Some people can even say Jesus and still be bound. Some people can even sing in a choir or participate in religious activity and still be bound. Hallelujah. But he come here and he says in the word, what have I to do with thee? Now watch this. When you begin to look at this scripture, we see this. And he says, what do I have to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? Now, demons, I'm not a demonologist, if you will. I've looked at it through the eyes of a pastor and read and things about demons and fallen angels and where they are. And some angels are reserved in chains of darkness awaiting their judgment day. Somebody said, well, what is a demon? Is a demon a fallen angel? I would have a good conversation with that. And I would have to say, yes, absolutely. It's those that rebelled against God, and a fourth of them come out of heaven was Lucifer when he was kicked out of heaven. And they go here and yonder, and the Bible says, well, where is Satan in the book of Job? He says, where are you at, Satan? I'm going to and fro throughout the entire earth. It don't take a whole lot to see that there's demon activity going on all around us all the time. The media, the television, Hollywood, and all these other places that's constantly producing everything that they're producing. I think years ago, and I don't want to meddle and get on a slippery slope here. Years ago, way before I ever came to Thomasville, I said to a church one time, I said, you know what's happening with these video games? They're desensitizing children and they're desensitizing a generation. What happened years later? is there started being mass shootings and mass killings at schools and so forth and so on, because it seemed as if children no longer had a consciousness, and children no longer, and other older individuals, those that did it, had no value for human life. And that's where we got into this thing that we're in today. And it just seems like, Sandra, that one evil feeds another evil and another evil feeds another evil. Demons have a destiny. And I know you've read the scripture, and you know they're all going to end up in the lake of fire with their leader at some point at the end of the book of Revelation. But until then, we will be contending with these things. But you do not have to be possessed by the devil. You say, is anybody in the room possessed by the devil? I would hope not. But I guarantee you that you know somebody that probably is. And it don't take a lot to figure that out. Jesus said, either you're for me or against me. Amen? There's a difference between the enemy trying to torment you and then him coming and living in your house, in this house. And in this condition, in this certain situation, these demons have taken over this man's life. They had absolutely led him to absolute total destruction. Again, it reminds me, is there hope for someone that's been turned over to demons? Is there hope for somebody that it seemed like the devils have absolutely destroyed their life? Yes, I believe wholeheartedly, flat-footedly, that there's still hope for anybody that's still breathing. Come on, somebody. There's still hope. And Jesus is that hope. Amen? So this demon, when you look at this, he said, if you come to torment us before our time, knowing again that this particular situation, that these demons knew that they had a destiny. They knew, these demons that was there. Jesus said there in verse number 8. Again, when you look at this text, Jesus, again, I don't know if he raised his voice. I don't know if he said in a calm voice. And again, that's not the issue. Jesus looked at this demon. He confronted the demon. And you will never conquer what you will not confront. Hello, somebody? If you're tormented by certain issues in your life today, you will never, ever conquer it if you're not willing to confront it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So when we look at this in the scripture, we see this where Jesus said this in verse number 8. Again, he says, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Come out. Come out of him. Come out of her. And again, I don't know why I'm preaching like this. I don't try to figure it out. I just preach what I feel like through the week that God deals with me about. But come out. And I know there's a different scripture says, come out from among demons, be separate, saith the Lord, come out from among the world. I understand all that. But he was talking specifically to a demon. He talked specifically to this demon that had this man bound and tormented for years and years and years and years. And somebody might be saying, well, that's him and not me. Thank God it's not me. But you know what? We have people around us all the time that are suffering. And the only thing, Miss Sandra, that got this man free was Jesus. Don't misunderstand the preacher. It's not another program. It's not another event. It's not another activity. They got the man to Jesus. And that's where I want to say today, if there's people that's got issues in our world today, as a church, as a Christian, as a people, we've got to get people to Jesus. When we look at this in the scripture, we can see, as Jesus said unto him, he said, come out. The authority of the spoken word. Jesus just simply used his word because he is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And we see that where Jesus said this to the word, and he says, come out. And then we see here in the scripture, he says, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He confronted him. Verse 9 says, and he said, and he asked him, saying, what is thy name? What is your name? Jesus said, what is your name? Notes, when I begin to look through this, there were several things that come to my mind. Is he says there, if you look at this, he says here in the scripture, he said, what is your name? And there's a lot of different thoughts and ideas about stuff like that. And I don't mean to be ugly today, but your sin has a name. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's sexual sins, whatever the case might be. Maybe it's lust, maybe it's your mind. It's got a name. Name it. And then he says here, saying, my name is Legion. Legion, for we are many. That last word, many, actually identifies the name Legion. Legion in the Roman soldiers is somewhere like 6,100 footmen. If you got a Roman soldier, a group of men in a Roman army, and it says it's a legion of men, commentary said there's 6,100 footmen. Plus, if you look at that same in the context, there's 732 horsemen. I don't care if it's 6,100 or if it's 732 all put together. But the point of the matter is, it was a lot. He didn't just have one thing he was dealing with. Somebody said, man, he was a mess. He was a mess. And it don't matter, because I think about this, it don't matter how many issues you've got, no matter how many times you've tried, no matter how, and I'll be honest with you. This is my perspective, okay? My perspective. You might get over one thing. I read it this morning early. You might get over one thing, and if you are not very, very careful, you'll go to something else. Especially if you've got an addictive personality. You'll go to something else. You'll get free from that and you'll go to something else. Why do you say that? Because the Bible says that there was this one house, and the man swept the house and he cleaned the house, and the demon left the house, and he searched through dry places and he couldn't find a way to lodge or a place to lodge. So he went and got seven of his buddies and he brought them back to that original house. Somebody says, you got to shut the door and lock the door and not let the devil back in. My friend, you got to padlock the door. You got to put what's that thing called? You twist. You got to put the bolt, your dead bolt. You got to lock the door to your soul and not let the enemy back in. If you get free from something, you cannot, my friend, under any circumstances, graduate to another sin or another issue. Because the enemy's out to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So in this, we can see here in the Word, he said, my name is Legion. And again, I don't want to stretch the Word too far this morning. And it may not even be important that I say this. But you see this when you begin to get the description. The Bible says, if you look at this, it says that he was dwelling there and no man could bind him, not even with chains. And often it said that he had been bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder and he had broken. And no man could tame this man. Then verse 5, and it talks about this, that always, night and day, he was in the mountains. Look at this. He was crying out like a wild man, no doubt in my mind. Cutting himself. Years ago, Chris and I've talked about this, and others that I've worked with here at the church in days gone by. Somebody would come to me and say, listen up, young people, listen to me. Somebody would say that so-and-so's cutting themselves. They've got a razor blade and they're cutting themselves. And kids today, you parents and grandparents may not understand, and I don't know the whole concept behind it and these kids and why they say they do this. A lot of times they do it for attention, and that's the way they cut themselves, release their internal pain and all kinds of stuff. We've studied about that right there. But I want to say it like this, that it's demonic. That it's demonic. He was there and he was in the tombs and he was bound by demons, and it began to manifest himself, not only in his nakedness, not only in his nakedness, but yet we see in his crying, and then he was in his cutting himself. I know young people that's come to this church, they might not be here right now, but in days gone by, that current and past youth pastor would come to me and say, so-and-so's cutting themselves. And y'all may not know that, but these young people are doing that. I hadn't heard of it in recent days. And Lori, I don't know if it's for an attention factor or them trying to relieve pain on the inside of them, whatever the case may be. But here's the whole thing that says he's cutting himself. Trying to get relief from the torment of the enemy of his soul. People drink themselves to death. People shoot drugs trying to get the relief from all that's going on in the inside of them. And we can shout and we can cry and we can holler and hoop and have a good time. But on the inside, people are hurting and people are trying to get relief. And we can call it what we want to call it. But bottom line, it's nothing more than the enemy of their soul crying out, God, help me. God, help me. And in this, we see the longer part of this scripture, the where, again, we think about what the Bible says. In so many places, we look at the scripture, and there's a few scriptures I want to get into. So how will we ever be free from the enemy? First of all, you've got to confront your sin, and you've got to confess your sin. In Romans 10, we see this in verses 9 and 10. This is what the Word of God says. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's one of the hardest things we'll ever do is say, God, I need you. That's why these pews, people grip the back of pews because they don't want to resign themselves to the authority of God. Confess with your mouth and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at verse 10. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus asked him, who are you? What's going on? He made him confess. Watch this. Not only do you have to confess, number two is 2 Corinthians 4 and 2. This is good. 2 Corinthians 4 and 2. Watch this. In the opening part of this verse, watch this. You've got to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. You got to renounce it. You got to, when we think about this word, renounce every sin. You got to bring it to light and renounce it. You got to reject it. You got to stay away from it. You can no longer walk in it. Somebody says, well, can I drink a little bit? Social drinking. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Every man that ever become an alcoholic never intended to be an alcoholic. It only started with drinking a little here and drinking a little there, here a little, there a little, and before long, it's something that's on the taste buds of their tongue. And before long, all you got to do is think about it. And my daddy told me something. Other people told me something. My dad told me one time, he said, son, now my daddy's quit drinking over 30 years ago. I seen him this week, and he's doing a lot better. My dad said, son, I can't take just one drink. He said, I got to see the bottom of the bottle. My own brother told me one time that he can even think about, watch this. My own brother told me, he said, I can just think about alcohol. And he said, my tongue will begin to salivate. I can just think about it. And it's a little simple thing, Brother Beckner. People start with just a little bit. A little bit of party, a little bit of party here, a little bit of party there. And young people today, and if I had a group full of young people, I hopefully could school. I promise you, you're looking at a man that's 59 years old. I promise you, I could school you. And Robert could school you and others around here that could help me do that on the dangers of alcohol and things of that nature, that where it will lead you. And again, I'm way off target this morning, but I'm right on target. Don't think that a little sin here and a little sin there won't lead to greater sin, because, my friend, before long, you'll be a captive to that thing. You got to renounce renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in the craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. In other words, twisting the Word of God. In other words, making the Word of God say something that it don't say to your likings and to your benefit. I still believe right is right and wrong is wrong. Call me old-fashioned, call me old school, call me what you want to call me. But friend, it's worked for me over 30-something years, and I'm going to stick to it. Somebody says you got to put your hand on the plow and you can't look back. My daddy taught me to plow on a 49 Ferguson tractor. He said, son, don't look back at the plow when you're plowing. Put your wheel on that. He called it fur, whatever it is. Put your wheel tire right there and there. He said, just plow. You don't have to look back, just plow. He didn't know that he was giving me a spiritual principle there. He said, you just put your wheel right there in that fur. It's what he called it. He said, just plow. A lot of times we get in trouble as, and again, I got it a little bit in my nose. So I'm not going to take the time to turn there. But the prodigal son looked back at the far country of sin. And the enemy enticed him. Look at this over here. And here you are in your father's house. Look how boring it is at church. Look how traditional they are in the church. You know, look how hung up they are. Look, the enemy's going to do everything he can do. But the enemy never shown that young man the pig pen that he found himself in and he was eating out of. He finally came to his senses and he said, isn't it amazing how enticing sin is? Even Moses was tempted to enjoy the sin for a season. And there is pleasure in sin for a season, but when that season's up, look out, friend, because there's going to be the piper to pay at the end of that season. So I said, I'm going to sow my wild oats while I can. And 18 years later, you finish paying child support because you sowed some wild oats. Hey, I know I ain't real popular today, and I don't have to be popular. I got over trying to be popular a long time ago. I'd rather be happy in Jesus and know that my wife loves me and know that a few people tolerate me than to worry about anything else. I'm telling you, folks, this is a little bit redundant, but it can happen. It's reality. It's reality. And then we look and he came to his senses and I don't know if he scratched his head or smacked himself on the head. I could have had a V8. And here I am in the pig pen. Eating corn husk. Corn husk is what the pigs already eat over. They've already eaten the good corn. He's eating what the pigs had left over. He rose and he come to his father's house. So we renounce the hidden things of darkness. We confess Jesus with our mouth. The latter thing is, in just a few minutes, we understand that it is not God's will for you to live in bondage. It is not God's will for you to live in bondage. He said, what is thy name? And again, he seen this great herd of swine. And Jesus, again, he the devils cried out. He said, hey, let's go into the swine. Living in swine is better than living in hell. Are you with me? Why did you say that? Those demons said, let us go into the swine. They were unclean by the Jews. I'd rather live in swine than to know my final destination is the lake of fire. Don't send us there. Have you come to torment us before our time? And then in this, we can see where that Jesus, again, he looked at this and he told them to go into the swine. He sent the swine in, sent the demons into the swine. And forthwith, Jesus told them in verse 13, said to leave. My God, if we could get a hold of that, Jesus told the unclean spirit to leave. Get out! And you're not coming back. Woo! Get out! Boy, I feel that. Maybe that's you today. You say, well, do you have to holler like that? Well, you come up here and do it then. You do it your way, I do it my way. Sometimes you've got to use some authority in Jesus' name. You've got to stand flat-footed, plant your feet, square your shoulder, look the devil in the eye, that song I sing, and say, not today, devil. We have placated with the devil so much in the church. I'm talking about Christianity. We've allowed him to come and torment, to steal, to kill, destroy, mess our minds up, Brother Steve, and torment us. Not today. I may not have the riches of this world. Who needs it? Who needs it? This world's not my home. You say, well, you don't like nice things, preacher? I like it just like you do. I survive just like you. I've never went to Food Lion and they say, well, just because you're a preacher today, carry your little groceries on out of here. We love you. That's never happened. I'm not dominated by this world nor its structure. But I'd sure enough do like a good move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus told these demons, you look at this, he gave them leave, he gave them permission, he ordered them out, and the unclean spirits went out, went to the swine. Jensen Franklin preached a message years ago, pigs can't swim. So he went and he sent them into the swine, And the Bible says they're choked in the sea. Choked it out. Several scriptures, and I know it's getting late. Just take your iPhone out and hit your button that operates your cooker and put it on 10 more minutes, okay? God is no respecter of persons. God died for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is, you and I understand that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The truth is, Jesus bore your sin at Calvary. So you do not have to remain captive to those sins. The Bible said, if the Son has therefore set you free, that you shall be free indeed. Again, the old song says, He set me free. Real quick, let me do this really, really quick. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Romans 8 opens this up in verse number 1. Now look at this. He says, therefore now, right now, today, right now. And this is what he says. No, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Somebody says, I'm clean. Hallelujah. I'm clean. I'm clean. He broke the chains that bound me. He set me free. That's what I'm talking about today. God came through His Son Jesus to set us free. If you look through this, he said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law. The law couldn't save you. The law couldn't help you. But he says that now, he says, made me free from the law of sin and death. Look in verse number 3. He says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The next verse. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but in the Spirit. Verse 5, he says in the Word, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. One more verse. If I can find the right verse. I know I wrote it down. But it's this. I think it's in John 7. If the Son has therefore set you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son has therefore set you free, you shall be free indeed. I wonder today when I preached this message, I've got to do it the way I feel it. If you're here today and you walked in this room dealing with bondage, this is the day that Jesus said that you can be set free. When this man was set free in our text, again in Mark chapter 5, there was those that witnessed what Jesus had done. Verse 14, following, and they that fed the swine fled and told the city in the country, and they went out to see what had been done. Look at verse 15, and they come to see Jesus. Oh my goodness. They come to see Jesus. They ran to Him. They come to see what Jesus had done. You know, again, I was thinking about this, and I'm almost done. We worry. Now, again, they might have come out of curiosity, I admit. But we worry about stuff. I do as a pastor, and I shouldn't. Maybe you don't worry about it. But sometimes I think to myself, if you have a good move of the Holy Ghost, you're going to run people from the church. People's going to leave, and they're going to go back to wherever they were going. I believe that God's going to put here who He wants here, first of all. But number two is, we've shied away from what we used to know as a move of God in the power of Pentecost, when people would come to an altar and they would leave free and they would leave delivered and they would leave set free from the power of Satan and the bondage of sin. I hadn't seen it in years. Come on now, let's be real, let's be honest. And a lot of that in my own mind is because we're concerned about what people think, and maybe people will leave if they're not accustomed to Pentecost, if they're not accustomed to the moving of God. Well, they're just going to go and take their buggy and go somewhere else. They may do that. I don't know. But on the flip side of that, when you see people getting free in God, when you see this happen, this devil-possessed man getting free, look, all the people come out to see Jesus and to see what this Jesus was all about. And then the people, the Bible said, and the people were there. Again, the people came to see him. That was possessed, was possessed of the devil and had the legion. Look, he was sitting there in the presence of Jesus, where at one time he had run from the presence of God. He had run from Jesus and he had said, Jesus, are you come to torment me? Now, Brother Steve, he's sitting in the sweet presence of Jesus, sitting in the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost, whom the Son has said, free is free indeed. Hey, if we can get free, we won't mind coming to prayer meeting. If we can get set free, we won't mind coming and staying an extra 30 minutes at church. If we can get set free, we won't mind coming to choir practice, and we won't mind coming and participating in activities around the church that lifts up and promotes godly living. We won't mind that at all. Sitting and clothed. I thought about that too, clothed. Nobody had to tell that man to put his clothes on. He knew to put his clothes on. He'd been naked long enough. He'd been a wild man running crazy in the woods, no doubt, and in the tombs, crazy. But Stevie got his head right, got his heart right. He got not only the inside, but the outside right. Come on, somebody. And he said, and then all the people were afraid. Now they departed and told Jesus, see you later, buddy. We don't need you around here. Commentary said a couple of things. One is, they were afraid if he's already got rid of one group of pigs, he's going to get rid of my livestock next. So you need to just scoot on out of town. I can't afford losing my pigs, you know. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. Maybe there were other demons there. Maybe there were other powers there. Maybe there were other persons there. I don't know. You can go all the way through the end of this verse, and this man went and told the whole city what Jesus had done. Evangelism. Go and tell somebody else. We sing the song, look what the Lord has done. Go and tell somebody else. See, Jesus suffered him not, but to saith unto him, go thy way, tell your friends how great things the Lord hath done and hath had compassion on thee. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, when God has done something for you, you go be the biggest loudmouth for God that you know how to be. You just go and tell somebody what God has done. Amen. Won't you stand with me? I wonder today if this message made any sense to anybody at all. I wonder today in my own heart, my own mind, as I asked my wife before we came to church, I wonder if anybody's going to be in bondage in that building this morning. I wonder if anybody is going to be needing to be set free in that building this morning. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything to you. But maybe you come in this room today and you say, preacher, I know I'm in bondage and I know I've been in bondage. Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to do nothing to you. I promise I'm not going to do anything to you. Anyone else? Anyone else? All over this room, as individuals are raising their hands, I'm not asking them what their issues are. I'm not asking them anything. I'm just simply saying that as God, you can put your hands back down, as God has delivered this man that seems to be in a deplorable condition, that I believe the same God that delivered him is the same God that will deliver you. So all around this room, we want to pray for those that raised their hands today. And we want to ask God to deliver them and to set them free. Let's all pray together. Father, in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, you see today, God, every heart of every person that's in this room. You see the condition of their hearts. You see the situation of their hearts. And God, everyone that raised their hand today, oh God, you, Lord, you see their pain. And you see, God, today how they want to be set free. And God, we think about all kinds of things that people can be in bondage to. So all over this room, God, even right now, you be the bondage breaker. You be the one to break the bondage off of lives, and you be the one to break the strongholds off of lives today. With every hand that was raised, oh God, today, we pray, God, that you break every bondage. We command in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that the stronghold of the enemy of hell be rebuked today. And we don't suggest and we don't ask. We command the enemy of our very soul to leave here today in Jesus' name. Now, if that's you today and you raised your hand, you confess that thing to God right now. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be delivered. You shall be saved. You let God do His part. You do your part, let God do His part. And I believe today that God will set you free. And you will no longer walk in the bondage. You will no longer walk in the bondage of your soul or of your life. Let God do a work. Maybe there's another that'll meet Brother Steve here. Whatever you feel like you need to do today, let God do it today for you. Let God do it today. Stretch your hands this way. Brother Steve come on his own will. I didn't ask him. He come on his own will. Let God do a work in his life this morning. Amen. Stretch your hands and pray for him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that all things are possible to him that believe. I've had to remind myself of that over and over and over and over. I believe that today. We're going to stay with Brother Steve as long as he wants to stay here. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless you. 6 o'clock. Put it on your calendar.